It's time for Windows Weekly. Our new Xboxes have come. We'll do an unboxing of the Xbox One X Project Scorpio Edition. Paul will help us a little bit with some setups. We'll talk about the new version of Windows. Redstone 4 is here. And the bizarrest story of the week, Intel and AMD together? It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 543, recorded Wednesday, November 8th, 2017. This war ain't gonna win itself. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/windows. And by WordPress. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off your brand new website today at wordpress.com/windows. And by Text Expander, the productivity multiplier from Smile Software. Text Expander is a knowledge base from which you communicate quickly and accurately using a brief search or abbreviation. Try it free for 30 days at textexpander.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Mary Jo Foley on your right, Paul Thurrott on your left. We are happy to be here because there's so much Microsoft news. We don't know where to begin.
Actually, we know where to begin and where to end. It's very quick.
But does Mary Jo weigh in on that?
You know what? The past, 4 days have been all Xbox awesome. All the time.
Oh, I see. Yes.
There's pretty much no way to avoid it this episode. So let's just get it out of the way.
This is what I found in my stocking this morning, and I'm pretty darn excited. You remember on the show, I was confused. And it said, I looked like, and Paul was too. We thought we didn't order it.
I'm still confused.
Yeah. So I got two yesterday. You want one? No, you have two already.
But I had a cart like a 55-inch 4K display into my office.
That's just so the issue. To start off, this is the new Xbox One X. I have the Project Scorpio edition because I did, in fact, order it, but I ordered it from Microsoft. I just forgot. Should somebody who doesn't have a 4K UHD display with HDR even consider this?
Yes. Actually, Digital Foundry, remember, these are the guys who got insider access from Microsoft to the Xbox One X early, have posted a really good video demonstrating the differences that this thing makes on just a 1080p display. Like, it's fairly astonishing, like the graphics quality.
Really? The quality is better.
That's interesting. Yeah. And so, you know, you obviously get a bump up as you go up, right? You know, there's the resolution of the display from 1080p to 4K. There's the addition of HDR capabilities, which you could have on 1080p. By the way, sometime in the near future, they'll actually support 1440p. Like, I have my desktop display here is, I think it's 2160 by 1440, which is not natively supported right now, but will be. And then, of course, the combination of those things, like 4K UHD plus HDR, is amazing. But there's also like a scale. I don't know how to describe this exactly. Microsoft has good terminology for this, but there's a scalability factor that goes up and down depending on the game, whether it's been enhanced or not, specifically for Xbox One X, and then the display. And so if you have a game that has 4K assets on an Xbox One X running on a 1080p display, they'll actually super sample it, which I think of as kind of like down-resing it, if you will. And it will still look way better on that console than if you had an Xbox One or Xbox One S. Likewise, you can take a game that hasn't been improved in any way explicitly by the developer for the Xbox One X, play it on that console on a 4K display. It's going to load faster, not dramatically in my experience, but still a bit faster. And it's going to look better as well, just by virtue of the hardware that's in the device. It's just going to do a better job of scaling it up. So you get the benefits across the board, like whatever combination of games and display, I guess would be the way to put it, as long as you're running it on Xbox One X. It's really kind of exciting. It's cool. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
If you bought a 1S last year's refresh, still?
Yeah, you're screwed. You should never have done that.
it was a big mistake.
That was the dumbest thing.
Because I did. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I have one too. By the way, that's the other thing. So the Xbox One S is awesome. The truth is it's awesome. And it's a really good deal. And for people who can't afford $500 for a console, which is basically almost everybody, you can get for $250 or less an Xbox One S with games.
Okay.
And it does HDR, it does 4K, not in games, but in entertainment. Right. And honestly, it's a really good entertainment console as well. You should never buy it for that purpose, not when you can get a $50 Fire TV or whatever. But if you already have it for games, it's in your living room, you know, it's an astonishingly good media box as well.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let me take a break and tease people.
I was going to say, Mary Jo, you might want to get your gong out because honestly,
this is gonna be a little
I am going to get to the point where I can't stop talking about it because it's so
that good.
Awesome.
What have you, so you've had it for, you got a review unit.
Some amount of time. Can
you say how long?
No, I don't know. No, I've only had it for a few weeks, but.
Okay, that's long enough. That's pretty good.
Well, but here's the difference though between even like today and say a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Is the availability of Xbox One enhanced assets, right? And a lot of the stuff we had earlier before the launch wasn't enhanced. It still looked great and it ran really fast. But the day of the launch, you could actually see it. If you went into My Games and Apps and filtered the view just to enhanced apps, and in my case, maybe I had 6 or something. And then I came back 2 hours later and it was like 9. And then I came back 2 hours later and it was like 12. Like you can actually watch it go up. And I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I want to say it was something like 50 or 70 on launch day and then maybe another 70 by the end of the year or something. They have huge plans to release over time more and more titles that are enhanced for this new console.
And what you'll get is 4K assets, textures, graphics, that kind of thing, or the game?
Yeah, it's not uniform, right? So the phrase Xbox One Enhanced, which is kind of a marketing term, doesn't literally mean you get this, this, this. It means you could get some of those things. Yeah. And so sometimes a developer might say, look, you know, depending on the type of game, what might make more sense is we're not going to hit 4K resolution, but we're going to hit a solid 1080p or 1440p or whatever it is at 60 frames a second instead. Or we're going to mix and match depending on the game type or the part in the game, or, you know, maybe a multiplayer game will go lower res, but higher frame rate, but on the single player we'll go lower frame rate, higher res. See if I'm getting that right. They can choose. You know, you could, a developer can to any degree add those things as they want. And I think that makes sense.
So there really are two things going on here. One is higher screen resolution in the games, but also because of the faster processor, you might opt not to do higher res textures, but faster frame rates or a little bit of each. And each game is different in that regard.
Each game is different. Forza 7, for example, is 60 frames a second and 4K graphics. So it's full meal deal.
So it's capable of that.
Yep.
So it's not like you have to make the trade-off. That's interesting.
Yeah. Gears of War 4 actually gives you the option. So you can, in the single-player campaign, you can go in and say, look, I want it to be 60 frames a second for the whole game, and no problem. Sometimes the res is going to drop down a little bit because there's a lot of stuff going on the screen. Or you can say, no, I want the quality graphics. So it's going to be 4K the whole game, but it's going to be 30 frames a second, which is what it is on the Xbox One S.
It's up
to the developer.
And that, you know, I read Ars Technica went back through all of the different games and kind of spoke to that. Like, well, here's what they optimized for in this game. Here's what. And some of them, it didn't sound like were, at least according to their reviewer, were well done or as well done or as exciting.
So, well, see, this is the thing. I don't know when they wrote that, but the issue was if you published on day one, you really didn't have a lot of good examples of this. If you were to publish that review today, you would have about 5 times as many examples. So I'm actually waiting. I'll probably do it over the weekend, but I specifically waited on I did a first impressions thing, but for the review, what I wanted to be able to do is, you know, because I have the two consoles, is compare them side by side. And I want to look at, I can't do, it's hard to do this formally on an Xbox, but something like game load times. So there are games like Forza 7 that are actually pretty slow. Like if you ever play this game and you want to go to the next race, you sit there for like a minute. I mean, it's kind of a long load time. I don't actually see dramatic performance improvements in that kind of thing, but I want to be able to quantify it somehow. Yeah. So it's going to be like me with a stopwatch. It's not going to be super accurate, but I'll be looking at that kind of thing.
Yeah, Sam wrote this at launch day. Sam Mashkovich.
Yeah, so you know,
so stuff has happened since.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If it's only a day later.
Read this review, went to the store, bought the thing, brought it home, set it up, it already would have gotten way better.
He loved Madden 18. Have you played that one?
Yeah. No, I do have it. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah. See, I'm not. So that's part of the problem is I don't like driving games or football games.
I never liked driving games either. My wife has actually now on multiple occasions complained because of Forza, because one of her big pet peeves is like movies that have chase scenes.
Yeah, me too.
She thinks
that.
These go on for far too long. So I've made her watch like Ronin like 8 times, and she can't stand this movie.
Murderer.
But she's walked into my office and said, seriously, like all I can hear is, rah, rah, you know, it's like this never ending, you know, race. But the thing is, it's so beautiful.
That's
like,
the thing. Astounding. It's not the game. You're just enjoying the drive.
There are the night races where it's raining and you get those effects. Races where it happens at dusk and the sun actually comes up over the course of the race.
Oh my gosh.
And it's dynamic lighting with fog and everything.
Oh,
and it's,
my gosh.
It's, there's just something.
You feel like you're actually
gorgeous.
Driving. And that's what
it's
always
amazing.
Puzzled me about these games, because I drive. I don't, you know, I could see if you're 14 and you don't have a driver's license, then it's a game. For me, it's just a chore. Yeah. I already drive plenty. I don't want to drive anymore.
But they should do the Pennsylvania like Forza where like game ends when you hit a deer.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But you're saying, like, you're saying it's
you
so
go?
Gorgeous, it's worth it.
There were no lights on at night, and there you might hit a deer.
Yeah. Yeah, see, why would you want? I don't get the game part of that. But you're saying it's worth it. It's exciting. It's gorgeous.
I've always agreed. What you just said is what I've always said.
Yeah,
I'm still
a grown-up. I drive.
But you got to try this.
All right. I got another one to buy.
it really is nice.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a break. We have this thing in its original state. It's in its container, unopened. I truthfully don't think there's much point in hooking it up and playing a game, because most of our audience is listening, so they're really not going to enjoy it.
And the other problem is, unless
it's a 720p stream,
even if you had it on disc, I mean, it's going to take forever to get that thing going.
Oh yeah, well, we could, because there's I have to download updates probably.
Unless you did the hard drive thing and happen to have that handy.
I forgot to bring it here.
Yeah.
But is it one of those situations where you have to do updates before you can do anything anyway?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Look, every digital device you buy.
Yeah.
Has to be updated.
You hope it's
the
updated.
Second you buy it.
Yeah.
Seriously, everyone would agree is the most annoying. You want to get going. And it's like, just a few minutes, we got a little update to install, and it's like 17 gigabytes, really? No, it's not.
I got a 1 terabyte limit. I can't download everything all at once. We have to wait till next month to get the rest of it. All right, well, let's take a break. Unboxing the Xbox One X. When we return, first, though, a word from our sponsor, the great folks at Quicken Loans, best lender in the nation. And now they're even specialer. Because they've made something just for us geeks, a loan product that's entirely online. We're talking Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. In the past, when you bought something, you'd have to, you know, you buy a house or you refi a house, you'd have to go to the bank. You'd have to, you know, bring a box of stuff, paperwork, you know, pay stubs and bank statements. Not anymore. If you go to rocketmortgage.com/windows, you can do the Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans that you do entirely online. It's frankly suitable for, being at a house you want to buy. This has happened to us in the past. You go to an open house. We're not buying today, but I like to see what the neighbors look like. And you go and you go, wait a minute, this is great. Well, they're asking how much? That's nothing. Honey, we need to buy this house. Now, normally, you're out of luck.
Because now you go home, you call the bank, you get a loan, and then a month later, the house is long gone. Now you fire up your phone, you go to rocketmortgage.com/windows, you answer a couple of questions, and then they're going to say, okay, we think this is you, Leo. Is this your bank? Yeah. Give us permission to ask them for information? Yeah, yeah. And within minutes, they're going to get all the numbers they need. You do not have to go ferret out information. You already know in your head probably everything that they're going to ask you. And then it just goes from there. It's all computerized. And literally, within minutes, they're going to offer you a loan that's right for you based on your income, your assets, your credit. They're going to, you know, and you get to choose the down payment, the term, the rate, all of that. They go boom, boom, boom. And they say, you're approved. And you show that to the realtor right there and then, within a minute of saying, yeah, let's buy this house. There's a button. I love this. Download and print your acceptance letter, your approval letter. And you can send that to everybody. It's awesome. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. You go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030. Rocket Mortgage. From Quicken Loans, it's rocketmortgage.com/windows. And we thank Rocket Mortgage for their support of Windows Weekly. I feel we should have a drum roll of some kind.
So what I'm most curious about, in a way, is the differences with the Project Scorpio edition, because I don't have one.
You didn't
one.
Get that? Oh.
No, I know. I know it's just cosmetic, right? Like inside, it's the same.
No, no, Paul. It's better.
Yep.
Now you've got them
cosmetic. What are you talking about? No. This is the day one Project Scorpio. First of all, in here, looks like I got an Xbox Game Pass. I got Xbox Live. Go, I got all sorts of stuff.
That was the same. Oh. Okay. That was in the
Never
other
mind. Then underneath that, I have a little box. And inside that box, is absolutely nothing. It's an empty. Oh, wait a minute. What's this? Oh, this is that. I thought you said it didn't need a stand.
I did too. I got to go.
Oh, you see, Paul. You see, if you don't.
Oh, no. You know what?
You tore your box open, didn't you?
No. This is the deal. That is a difference for the Scorpio edition. Oh. I recall that now.
Oh.
You don't technically need it. But that works exactly like the one for Xbox One.
Yeah, I have one.
It'll
of these.
It'll be a more stable platform. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't usually run it sideways, but you can, so that's for running it upright, right? All right.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Well, I didn't really need that. What is this? Oh, this is the power supply. Can I connect my Kinect?
So yes, but you'll need that adapter kit, right?
Crap. Okay. Well,
because the Xbox One X doesn't have...
Oh, actually, I have it connected to my One S, so it must be I have the adapter
kit. That will work, yes. Yeah, okay. That will work. That's right.
So plug... Oh, there's no power brick. It goes right into the back of it. That's nice.
Yep.
It comes with an HDMI cable. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, of course, you know, the latest spec, right? Because you need, 2.1 to support 4K. And I bet you... I might be wrong, but I'm thinking... Mm-hmm. The controller in here probably says something like, you know, I have the Xbox Day One controller. It probably says something like that, right?
It says something like that, yeah.
Project Scorpio. Oh, they didn't have enough ink to print the O.
So that doesn't look jet black to me, but I wonder if it's because of the display, you know, the Skype thing. But does that seem like a matte black in person?
It's matte black. What do you think? So matte black, right? Yeah, there's a shiny black, and then there's matte. That's matte black.
I wonder if that's the same or different. It looks different to me. Oh, and the buttons don't have the colors on them like mine
No
do.
Colors, no, because...
Yeah, so that's a special
this
controller.
This is that new thing where you know, they do that to their Teslas. They take the chrome off.
Yep.
All right.
It's better.
So, good.
That's
so far,
different.
I'm better
I think
than
the,
you.
So the material on the front, it's not like super smooth. Does it have a little bit of a texture to it? Like, look at this real quick if you can see it. To me, that seems...
Oh, yeah, this is textured.
Shinier and...
this is textured.
Yeah, that's nice. This is cheap garbage. This is the one thing that is a little disappointing
See?
In the box.
Texture.
Yep.
Boy, we're really grasping at straws.
It's going to be a long episode.
It's
going to.
I'm
should get
sorry,
a beer
Mary
right
Jo.
Now.
I'm so sorry. I'm
like they're scratching the controllers. What next?
And look, batteries included. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what would be better than batteries?
What?
a rechargeable battery pack.
I know.
Again, $500 for a console, guys. Should, seriously. Yeah.
Well, maybe some people don't want rechargeable battery packs.
Okay, but come on.
You know? What I usually do is I just put rechargeable batteries in.
Yeah.
But they don't
last Microsoft very long. Sells a little thing that's the size of two AA's. I know,
the little cartridge. Yeah, I have that on one of them. I'm going to use the Elite controller anyway, so this is just this is for people visiting. Oh, here, have this one.
It's like a controller version of public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's the public controller.
We hand this one out to the people.
All right. Oh, all right. There we go. These are printed with special care. All right.
And we'll never see those again.
I'm assuming I'm not going to have to return it. That probably should save all that stuff, right? Be very careful with it. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, see? Textured.
Oh, man.
Here's the gong.
Well, hold on. There is actually ceremonial thing that has to happen.
What's that?
Which is the peeling of the sticker.
The official... Would you like to do the honors, Paul? The official peeling of the sticker. It says, do not move console without first removing any disc inside. That's it. That's the whole point of the sticker.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
So gorgeous. It is really pretty, isn't it? You know, it's so black. It's like the Spinal Tap Black album. There's none blacker. It is dark, and it's a stealth Xbox.
I know. It's so beautiful. It's... really interesting how small this thing is compared to the original, especially.
It is amazing, isn't it? It's heavy, though. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in here.
Yeah, 4K is not weightless. You know, you have to...
And we've looked at this all on the screen before. The HDMI in and out, the two USB ports, infrared out, the SPDIF audio, optical audio, an Ethernet jack. And, of course, it's better if you can Ethernet it, right? There's one front USB port. There is a button, I guess, for pairing controllers. The infrared receptacle.
That's right.
Yep. And the eject button.
So if you're looking at it from the front there, you can see that the side that has the logo on the right would be the side you could put flat down if you want to stand it without the stand. Because it will stand there like mine right now.
Wait a minute,
now
not like this. No.
No, no, sorry. I mean, yeah, sideways.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it stands very well. Oh, yeah. I see why you need the stand, because the other edge is cantilevered.
That's right.
And so you need, because this would just be toppling over. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although the stand actually goes on the flat edge, by the way.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see the notches in here for the stand.
Yep.
Okay. Wait a minute. There's more. It says, hello from Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put that
I'm not kidding. Hello from Seattle, Xbox One X. Hello from Seattle. Like there's somebody trapped in the factory. Help me. I'm trapped in the Xbox One X factory in China.
Okay. Didn't they used to do that with Windows Phone, too? Or
Apple always did. Apple always did. Designed in California.
Yeah.
Assembled in China.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's nice. This is very, it's very pretty. It is very, it's deceptively heavy.
Yeah.
That's a dense box of gaming.
4K goodness is what it is. Goodness. It's like when you get like a really high quality chocolate and it feels like a ball of lead or something.
It's like a high quality ball of chocolate. That's Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com. Here's a very primitive getting started pamphlet.
It says put on your bib, plug it into the wall.
Drool.
Just enjoy.
There's nothing. There's two steps. One of them I don't even need for standing upright, and this is plug in HDMI.
I got to go look at mine and see if it has the picture of the stand on it, because I did not get a stand.
Oh, you unlucky fellow. Yes, you did. You just threw it
out. No, I didn't. I think the stand is literally a Project Scorpio only thing.
Really?
Let me see if I can find the box.
I'll give you mine, Paul. Honest.
Yeah, would you?
Wait a minute. 3 seconds, it says. Take 3 seconds. Pair it.
I'm going to look.
All right. And then what else is in here? What's this Xbox Live Gold? Is this just a come on to join? I'm already a member. Come on. Ooh. I should hide that code because that's got 2 whole weeks free. Don't want anybody to steal that.
Yeah. Over,
yeah. 100 great games. I can get a baby blue controller. Oh, this is the one where you do your own. All right.
Show me where was that thing. Like, what was
it was in the very top. But it was deceptive because the packaging looked like it was empty. And you, I could see how you might have thought it was empty because the... this is a really good radio.
What's happening over there?
This is really good radio.
Very upsetting. I don't have that piece.
It was in here, okay? Is it,
yeah,
it was like that.
That,
right? And then
I
it was
didn't
this.
Get that.
You didn't
I
get
got this? Nope.
Yeah, I got that.
That doesn't exist.
I'll send you mine. You want to stand it on the side?
Well, no, I'm okay, but
Paul.
Yeah.
Chris Wolfel says the stand is Project Scorpio only. It's not in the regular edition.
Yeah, that's what
weird.
I said.
Why would you do
okay,
that?
Okay, I thought you were like searching your house for
well,
it.
I,
you
wanted
to make sure.
But I was just being sure
that he didn't get
I know,
it.
I'm just telling you. I'm telling you what the listeners are saying. Just
isn't
saving
that sad?
You some
they've given me something
exertion.
I have no need for or desire for, and that's my reward.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Now we know.
And thank you, Microsoft, for nothing.
Thanks for nothing, Microsoft. All right. I'm not going to set
this up. Now
you're
going to regret it.
I'm not going to set this up. It seems like a lot of work for nothing.
Wow.
Well, should I?
No.
No, because you wouldn't.
No.
I'd have to take
no.
you. I'd have to put you on that
no.
screen. All right, Mary Jo, now we're 1 gigabyte into the 17 gigabyte download. It'll only be an hour and a half now. Relax.
Actually, while that's downloading, let's talk about the new Call of Duty.
Yeah. It won't take that long. Remember, we have that, you know, 10 gigabit connection.
Oh.
Actually, I will. Can I, if I could just mention briefly on the Call of Duty front,
yeah.
pardon the pun. This is the first time in 10 years, and I mean that literally exactly 10 years, that I finished the single player campaign before I even bothered to play multiplayer.
Wow.
Like it's that good.
This is Call of Duty World War II?
Yes.
All
yeah.
Right.
It's
so
awesome.
I should get that. It's and does
awesome.
It look better on
Yes, it does.
The Scorpio?
Yeah,
it
it's
does.
Enhanced. It's amazing.
Okay.
You need to get this. It's
all
really,
right.
really good.
I will.
And you need to give him the quote you just sent to me. World War II isn't going to win itself. Like,
that's,
okay.
Yes.
Now we,
true.
Last time we talked about Call of Duty, you told me that it wasn't good for somebody like me who's not a hardcore gamer, that it gets hairy right away.
And yeah, the multiplayer does.
Yeah. But this one I could play through the single player probably.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
no,
then
and
I'd
you
be,
should. It's a great story.
I'll get that one, too. Yeah, Michael loves it.
By the way, just a little spoiler. We win at the end. But
well, wait a minute. Now, if you really were doing this game right, you could make it so the Germans could win.
Just, so.
Right? That would make it a game. Otherwise, it's a foregone conclusion.
So, I live tweeted my single player campaign over the weekend. By the way,
oh my god, that's
which
was
amazing. It was amazing.
Such a nerd.
I'm glad I missed that. I don't know how I did, but I
no,
did.
You would have enjoyed it.
How many years have you been married now?
What did you say?
Nothing.
Yeah. Are you still married?
My wife walked in. I'm not kidding. It was Tuesday, literally the day that this thing launched. And she walked into my office and she stood there with her arms crossed for a few seconds. And I'm like, what? And she goes, are you going to play video games all day long? Is that the plan?
Yes, I am. She doesn't know you well enough to know that by now.
I was, you know, I should be able to say with a straight face that this is my job. But what came out of my mouth was that those words, but framed as a question. Like, this is my job? And she just shook her head and she walked away.
You were living the life. Every teenager says, because his mother goes, what are you going to make a living playing video games? And every teenager says, yes, Mom, I am. But they never do, except, ladies and gentlemen, I give you. The man, he's living the dream, Paul Theroux.
Yep.
Playing video games for a living.
I'm thinking now that World War II isn't going to win itself. The Paul Theroux story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Might be the
next. Field
name,
guide.
Yeah.
Field guide.
The World War II.
And tell Stephanie, there's a new game. It's called Marriage Counseling, and you're just going to love it. All right.
No, it's going to be the next sponsor on Windows Weekly, somebody who does marriage counseling.
I'm actually really excited. I can't wait to get it home. It sounds like I need to buy Call of Duty World War II.
I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, I like shooters much better than than anything else. I occasionally play. I've been known to, platformers if they're cute and interesting and fun. Like
by the way, speaking of platformers,
yeah,
There is a platformer on this console that is amazing. And I think it's called Super Lucky. What's the name?
Oh, yeah,
of this
that's
thing?
The Lucky game from the Oculus Rift.
By the way, do play. Yeah, Super Lucky's Tale.
Yeah.
I've played it in VR. This game. That game is fantastic.
Well, I have it on Steam. I guess the VR version would work on this too, right?
Oh, I don't know. That's interesting. Anyway, it's there great. Was, it's nothing like Call of Duty, which, you know, is a bit of a demerit, obviously. But it's. But it's really, really good.
I have engineers doing something behind me. I think they want me to set it up. I don't know.
No.
No, Mary Jo. No. I'm in hell.
I mean, I could come back later.
No,
I could.
No,
I could.
No, no, no.
Mary Jo's like, I'm going to run out of the store and do some.
So the real issue, let's face it, in the real world, not in Paul's world, the real issue is this a worthy contender against the PS4 4K?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And are others besides you saying that?
Oh, yeah. So here's the deal. And this is just straight up the truth. Obviously, it's way better than the PS4. So. No. but technically speaking, that's 100% accurate. But obviously, in real life, these decisions are a little complicated. It depends on what system you've been in, what games you own, and so forth. I mean, if you have a bunch of PS4 games, making the leap over the Xbox is... A very complicated decision. I mean, I don't think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
but
no. And truthfully, you've made that decision a long time ago, probably at birth.
Yeah.
You're either an Xbox gamer or a PS4 gamer. Yep. Nobody crosses over. There's no switching.
If people understood how much I hated, and I mean like literally despised Microsoft, like in the 80s and 90s.
You were an Amiga guy.
They would be confused by my life trajectory. But. Yeah. It could be a genetic thing. I don't know. I feel like Microsoft has not consistently, but has done the right thing with the Xbox strategy wise, especially, you know, the way things are right now. I think the sales are what they are. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. But the current situation, if you're a Microsoft fan or an Xbox fan, I mean, my God, are you kidding me? It's amazing.
So... But again, I don't think anybody's going to say, you know, have, as you said, a bunch of PS4 games.
No, it's not. There's no, no. Yeah. No. Nope.
So.
No, and by the way, here's the proof. You know, when the PlayStation Pro came out last year, PlayStation 4 Pro, whatever it's called, I pre-ordered one. And part of my own thinking at the time was I'm a huge Call of Duty guy, and Call of Duty goes first on PlayStation now. They got that deal a couple of years ago. So that means when the DLC comes out, the new map packs and everything, you're going to get it first on Sony. And I find that to be problematic because I'm a huge PlayStation guy. And I was thinking at the time, I will get a PlayStation 4 Pro and I will play Call of Duty on this console because it will look better and I'll get the games earlier, the maps anyway. And I ended up not doing it. I canceled the pre-order and never got the console. And I'm glad because I think, you know, ultimately you're actually going to get better quality on the Xbox One X because it's just a more powerful console. Still going to get the maps late, but it's going to look better, run faster, whatever, on Xbox. And there's nothing Sony can do about that unless they, I don't know, put out a PlayStation 5, which maybe they're going to have to do.
And that takes a long time. You don't just kind of up and do that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, actually, they're slavering away to get this thing working. So we might actually at least be able to boot up and see the console. Oh, no signal. Oh, I have to turn it on. How do you turn it on? With the
X? The opening animation is kind of cool when it first comes on as well.
All right. They're going to see it. Now, where do I get audio out of that? Oh, no, we're not getting a signal there. Is that it?
You're going to want to turn it up.
Where do I get audio?
We haven't thought that far yet.
They haven't thought that far yet, they said. I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing a signal. So anyway, we'll work on that. We'll continue to work on that.
Untested technology.
Meanwhile, how's the Hadoop going?
It's going great.
Reviews are positive. Are there lines at stores? I mean, are people like excited about this or...
Yeah, there actually were lines of stores because they had that midnight opening thing, right? Oh, so if you lived on the West Coast, you could have gotten this at, I think it was 9 p.m. local time on Monday night.
Monday night. And I got mine yesterday, Tuesday. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Came in the mail.
Imagine being the poor UPS guy that had to deliver these things all day long.
Oh, like they're this heavy. This ain't no iPhone.
Brought, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
One guy gets
he can throw it to you like a football, but
hey,
this
Joe,
thing you have to carry.
We got all the iPhone 10s for you. Go over there. I'm sorry, Fred, but you get the Xbox One X.
Yep.
No! I'm going to be there all night.
Yep. You know, if you work for one of these companies, taking off time in like October, November would be smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are bad, but they know that. So let's see. We already talked about whether you should get one, and the answer is obviously yes.
Yep.
I mean, that's a short
sell
segment.
Stuff if you have to.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the excuses. Just get it.
Well, it's only half as much as an iPhone 10. I think that's a bargain.
Yeah, exactly. And look how big it is compared to the iPhone 10.
Look at the years of use.
It's got to be 10 times the value.
Yeah. It is compatible with Xbox One games. Mm-hmm. Is it compatible with Xbox 360 games?
Yeah, so any game that's in backward compatibility is compatible. Right, so this you could play original Xbox games in this thing. Some of them, right? There's some dozen or so that are available so far.
So there's your Zephyr was asking. There's your answer, Zephyr. And so are there exclusive launch titles or no? These are all just standard Xbox titles that are upscaled or better quality. Or is there anything? It's exclusively One X.
No, there's nothing that is exclusively One X, right? There are things that are exclusive to the Xbox platform, but they will run on Xbox One, the original version, and in some cases on Windows 10 too because of Xbox Play Anywhere.
This is really almost like upgrading your PC with a better CPU and graphics card. It's kind of like that.
That's right. Yep.
The operating system's unchanged.
Yeah, and this strategy is still controversial in some circles, but...
Well, it's not typical. It's not often not what happens, you know?
No, but Sony's doing the same thing, right? So Sony, in releasing their Pro version, which is 4K sort of, is doing the same thing at a very high level. What Sony doesn't have is the PC component. And it's not, you know, there aren't that many games that run across both platforms, but it's probably 20-ish titles. And some of them are actually really, really nice, including, by the way, Forza 7. So when you buy that on the Xbox or the Windows PC, you get it on the other as well. And you can mix and match the play. You can play part of the campaign on one machine, play over here on the other one. It's the same game. You know, you're everything continues and so forth. So I just think it's gamer friendly. You know, they could have come out with an Xbox something else and it could have been completely incompatible with everything else because that's what they had to do to make it more powerful. And that's the way things were done in the past. But I think this is just a friendlier approach. And you know, Microsoft, to their credit, is providing backward compatibility with consoles that are architecturally completely different from this. So Xbox 360 games, remember that thing was a PowerPC system. And then the original Xbox was actually Intel. But, you know, they run essentially in virtual machines on the new console because it's so powerful they can do that. And they run full speed and it works great. It's a much better system than...
Excuse me, Paul. This just in.
No, I'll be quiet for this. This makes my heart sing.
That was the startup animation.
I just woke up.
Yeah, it's like, hello.
Hello, Mary Jo.
All right. And then now to pair the controller, I press the button on the front for 3 seconds and press the button on the controller. And now I'm getting a fast blink light.
I think with the controller, if you had started it from the controller might already be paired. No, they'll ask you to pair it.
Yeah, it's pairing now. Yeah. Yeah,
they're both
blinking. Now, is this normal that it should be? Oh, yeah, I guess there's a little shimmer.
Yeah, it takes a long time the first time. Well, by the way, this is my one, this is one of a couple little complaints I have. One is the quality of the controller, which you're not really experiencing. You do have a slightly better looking controller, goddamn you. But The other issue is the storage, right? So I don't know exactly what the hard drive is inside of it. I do know that it is a hard drive, right? So in previous Xbox One, it's a 5400 RPM something.
Yuck.
So this one, I don't know, maybe it's 7800. I have no idea. But what it should be, I think, is a 1 terabyte SSD.
SSD, of course, but it's not.
I don't understand that.
Oh, something's happening.
Is it ready yet? Can I play the game? Is it okay?
See, that's another thing. I didn't get that on Project Scorpio.
Oh, that's a Scorpio exclusive.
The panda bear thing that was coming there.
I'm pushing that button right now. It says push the big button, not the pairing button, but the big button on the controller. Yeah, look at that ugly colored controller. That's so Fisher Price. I have a beautiful blacked out.
All right, now you're just being hurtful. So
it's not, well, what else is hurtful is not doing anything right now. It's just,
well, I think it was already paired. I think that might be what this screw is it saying. Up? So why don't you, I would pop out the battery.
Oh, crap.
And then pop it back in and just try to connect.
Start over. There's always something like this, you know. I should have just been patient and not followed my. Okay, now press that button. Okay, pressing it. Oh, it's happy. Press the A. Oh, what language should we speak today? Let's do Deutsch.
Italiano.
Dansk. I've fooled around that way before and been really sorry that I just.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do you have the Ethernet in there? You could take it out of here. There's Ethernet here. I'll plug it in.
One of the many times my wife has said, "What the hell is wrong to you?" to me was when we were at an ATM machine and I chose not Polish, but some Eastern European language.
I know, and you really regret it, don't you?
You're like, what are you doing? Like, what? Yeah. This is your money.
now you don't know it. Hey, it's all good. Okay, can I just say I don't like that? Like,
yeah, this is the same kind of flippant language they use in Windows 10 setup, and I agree with you. I don't like that.
Does it say
either.
My bad if it crashes?
Yeah, I don't. I agree. I know. Yeah. I don't like it.
Where do I live? Switzerland. Right? Yes.
Yep.
Daniel's here from Switzerland.
You don't want to choose Switzerland because your version of Call of Duty won't have any of the Nazi symbols in it.
Oh, that's true. Hey, it's update time. More good stuff awaits. It's going to take a few minutes, but it's worth it. The size of the update is around, that's not bad, 763 megabytes.
Yeah.
So let's start that update. We are on our very fast connection, so I appreciate
it. By the way, as promised, I will talk about Call of Duty during this process. It was just revealed that Call of Duty World War II earned over $500 million in sales over the week, first weekend. Holy moly. Twice as many units at launch as last year.
$500 million for a game. Now, the game may have cost $100-200 million.
Sure.
It's not unusual for these games to.
Yeah, World War II doesn't pay for itself either.
No.
But the thing is, it kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah. $500 million is probably more than we spent in the first few years of the war.
And this is, by the way, talk about old school. Like, this is the way they used to do this with Call of Duty, is they would compare it to movies of the day. And that's what they're doing. They're like, they're bigger than the biggest movie over the open weekend, which was that Thor movie. Also bigger than the opening weekend for that movie and Wonder Woman combined.
Wow. What?
So people forget, like, how big video games are.
Video games are, really, they are as big as the movie industry, aren't they, these days?
Yep.
It's kind of amazing. So we are, in fact, setting this up, I guess. It says, we downloaded the update. It's verifying the update. It's installing the update. Your console will restart during the update. Nothing to do here. Nothing to see here. We're just going to let it. It's not hot.
It's and by the way, that's the other nice thing about this thing. It's very quiet.
I don't hear anything.
Yeah, it's kind of astonishing.
I mean, the fan's not even on yet. Of course, it's only updating, but still, that's, you know, there's some hard drive activity, so CPU. Are there demos or anything on this thing?
No.
So I won't actually be able to do anything.
Well,
I'll sign into my account, and then I can play Cuphead.
Yep, you can do that. That's actually not a humongous game.
No, wouldn't take too long to download.
This process does take a while, by the way.
Half a billion is amazing.
Yep.
That is really amazing. Were there any first-party Microsoft games on this launch?
That were released coincidental to this? No, actually, because all the big stuff, like Forza, was probably the biggest one.
That's all third party. Is that EA?
Previously released. No, Forza's it's a Microsoft studio.
It is Microsoft, okay.
I think all of it kind of came up before. I mean, there were games that launched, at the same basic time as just like that World War II game. But
Ray Joe, is your cat around? Maybe something you can play with?
I was just thinking, what beers do I have in my fridge?
Have a beer by all means. This is a good time. In fact, I'm ready to have a beer because we're sitting at 33%.
And I'm, yeah. This is going to take a while, unfortunately.
I have a feeling we're going to be there quite some time.
Yep.
Verify.
You know, while this is happening, I could talk about that Bloomberg story about Phil Spencer.
What happened to Phil
Related,
Spencer?
Related Phil to Spencer? Xbox.
Tell me who Phil Spencer is.
Phil Spencer is the chief of Xbox.
Ah.
So he talked to Bloomberg this week because it was the big launch. And he said some very interesting things about the future of gaming at Microsoft. He said they are more committed than ever. Remember there was a time when people were like, I think they're going to spin out the Xbox division. Or maybe they're going to sell that, right? He's like, you know what? We're not only not going to do that, we're going to start or acquire some studios to develop our own games. Remember they were going that way, then they stopped and they laid everybody off. He's like, we're doing it. We've got the board buy-in. We're all in on gaming.
That's
it's not
good.
My favorite thing to hear, but you know what? If you're in, you got to be all in. Either in or out.
Yeah, what percentage of Microsoft revenues is Xbox? I mean, how important? It's a $1 billion business, right? The problem is they spent so much in R&D.
It's a billion-dollar business, but there are so many billion-dollar businesses at Microsoft now.
And it's not probably profitable. Is it profitable at this point?
Do we know if it is? No, I think it was at one point. Barely.
the problem, well... there is no one problem with this business, but it's a hardware business, right? So it is a low margin. Hardware's kind of a loss leader.
So much for this. I mean, this is
you're trying to sell software and services.
This is the equivalent of a fast PC.
Yeah. I mean, where they think they can make money is software and services, right? And selling content. That's what they're counting on. They're not counting on making money selling Xbox consoles. They're talking about making money through the services, you know, Xbox Live Gold memberships. And if they do start up these studios, you know, exclusive games that they create. But, man, when I was reading this, I'm like, man, that's a ton of money they're talking about investing in this business. Right.
So we had talked about this some time ago. I don't remember when it was exactly. Mm-hmm. But whenever Phil Spencer got onto the senior leadership team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are two interesting things about that. One is that he runs Xbox, right? So this was Microsoft kind of implicitly saying gaming is really important to the future of Microsoft. And it's hard to look at the current business and understand why that might be so. And so I think Mary Jo kind of hinted at some of the strategy for why they believe that could be the case. But the other thing is the thing that we talked about at the time, which is that semi-uniquely, Phil Spencer actually reports to someone else on the senior leadership team. And I find that situation to be somewhat strange. This is not a team of equals, at least not from an org chart standpoint. Phil Spencer reports to Terry Morrison, who's also on the senior leadership team. I think we had discovered at that time that there's another example of something like this on that team. But to me, that's a little unusual, but okay, whatever. There's something going on here, you know? Phil Spencer was on the team of people who convinced Satya Nadella to buy Minecraft, right? When that purchase was made, I think a lot of people were like, yeah, we love Minecraft, we get it, but seriously, for all that money and what's the strategic advantage to Microsoft for owning this property? I think today we kind of look back on it and we think, actually, okay, this is really neat because this gives Microsoft that rare consumer win, which they almost never get. It gives them an inroad with kids. It gives them an inroad into education. It gives them a way to kind of push computer science in education in a way that's actually going to be fun for kids, you know, and it's kind of a neat thing. Now, there aren't a lot of Minecrafts out in the world, right? It's not like they're this work, let's do it again kind of thing. But, you know, a part of their strategy of making Xbox not just about the console and extending the reach of Xbox across to PCs. Mm-hmm. And then I think we saw something today about how there was some hint that this may include game streaming in the future, which would kind of obviate the hardware end of it, which is smart, right? Because that's where all the money gets thrown away.
Right. So here's what he said exactly about that, which is worth noting. He said, Microsoft will probably debut a streaming service that does not require a console or for some types of content within the next 3 years. So remember when they tried to do this before? Do you remember
that? Remember it was like when they tried to do this, but there are services that do game streaming, right? There's a little company. Oh boy. Okay. I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but I should probably look at my own thing about it. Cause at the time I wrote Microsoft should buy this because this little company can't make this work, but Microsoft could make this work.
Yeah. So back in 2013 at one of the company meetings, they actually demoed a game streaming thing called, it was codenamed Rio. And then after some time went by, then they started staffing up a whole team that had the codename Arcadia. They were going to build a game streaming service. Like it was happening. They had the team, it was in the operating system group, and then they just decided they couldn't pull it off.
So I honestly don't remember that, but I honestly, the way I would think, or the way I think of this now is it's starting to make sense. You know, it was probably a bandwidth issue back then, not enough people in broadband.
And Azure, right? It's going to be hosted on Azure. And so Azure back in 2013 was still fairly new and probably nowhere near as robust as it is now.
Right.
There are probably other technologies you would need to have this, you know, you would have to have working to make this work that they didn't have at the time.
We've kind of talked around a few things here, but we've talked in the past about Dave Cutler and how he was the architect. Yep. Behind the Xbox One software.
Yep.
We talked about how Microsoft is virtualizing older versions of Xbox consoles so that you can run those games in backward compatibility and they run full speed. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't this stuff run in the cloud? Right?
Yep.
We stopped caring about this stuff. You know, the old 8-year or 10-year console life cycle kind of goes away. The console could go away too, right? Mm-hmm. If you could play this thing on a laptop, on a Chromebook, on a web browser, on a hotel TV, you know, whatever.
On a wall. Remember that whole virtual wall thing they were doing?
And I would say most important, I kind of posed this question semi-rhetorically, but how does gaming make sense in the context of Microsoft? You look at their current business and you're like, it kind of doesn't. You look at this and you go, yep, that's how.
It's a service.
They're one of the
gaming
few companies
as a service.
Yeah.
Gas.
They're one of the few companies that has the infrastructure to make this work. This is something Sony could not do.
True. Right. Because you have to have the networking infrastructure, right? Like you have to have massive data centers to pull that off. So,
So there you go. They just
So maybe I will be writing about it when it becomes an Azure service.
Yeah. It is. Isn't there Azure in this?
So Xbox Live has parts of it that are on Azure, but the whole gaming service itself is not.
Oh, so by the way, as a few people have pointed out to me on Twitter, Chris Welfel and Hellcatem, that service I couldn't think of earlier is OnLive. And I was briefly subscriber to that. I tried that, you know, gave it a shot. And it's just one of those things.
It was a streaming service, though. It's not like what Microsoft's doing.
Well, what we're saying is it is like what Microsoft's going to be doing.
Oh, they're going to do that. Oh, I get it. Yeah, because currently you download a game. It's like more like a rental service. But on live, and by the way, there's an NVIDIA streaming solution that's very similar. They play the game on their servers.
That's right.
And then you get an updated graphic of it. It works fairly well if you if latency is not an issue.
Sony has a service where you can play PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 games streaming. But you need a PlayStation 4 console, or actually a PC, I believe. Microsoft's kind of similar service today is a subscription service. It's inexpensive. It's $10 a month, Xbox Game Pass. But you do have to download the games. Obviously, what they need to do is get it to this kind of at-scale streaming service. And I feel like they're uniquely poised to make that work.
That's interesting.
Although, actually, I just said Sony couldn't do it. Arguably, they are doing it.
You can play, so the NVIDIA thing is called GeForce Now, and you can play that on a Mac, of course, of all things.
right. Well, by the way, that shows the power of this kind of thing, because the Mac is not known as a good system to have for games.
But it's not doing the rendering. It's all...
Exactly. Yeah. So this kind of obviates that problem, and that's neat. And that's how you can tell this is a real solution.
Yeah. Mm. Well, but OnLive was kind of funky. I mean, and obviously they went out of business, so...
Microsoft put them out of business.
Sure.
They didn't want them doing what they were doing, which was allowing people to stream Windows.
Oh, that was the Windows problem. That's what they did. That's right.
Yeah. And Now there are ways to do that, but you have to pay a lot of money to do it. You have to go through Citrix or through something like remote desktop services, but it's not something you can do in most general cases. Not legally, okay.
So is Phil Spencer going to call it gas?
I'm calling it gas. You heard it.
I really like that.
Gaming as a service.
Gas.
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 It's like the gas, what do you call those? Like the manhole covers in Paris say gas.
Gas. Gas.
I think they probably would not call it that, but.
So we're almost there.
Yep.
Inch by inch. Boy, for a
second. You'll call it XaaS, Xbox as a service.
Would, yes. It would require Xbox?
No, I think they want the branding, right?
Yeah.
They want the branding.
What they've done is they've already set the stage for this. Their Xbox is not just the console. Mm-hmm. And this is the logical conclusion of that. I think this makes tons of sense.
Mm.
I already can't wait to get rid of my Xbox One X. This is so exciting.
Look at this. You were just complaining you didn't have the Scorpio edition, and now you're ready to dump it.
If I just had that, if I had the controller, it'd be fine.
All right, so now I sign in. Oh, this is always the most painful thing on these things because you don't have a keyboard.
So if you have
a Bluetooth
2FA
keyboard
on your phone, which I hope you do.
I do.
This won't be terrible because you can do. They'll send you a code and you can just do it that way. Okay. I mean, you'll have to type in your username or whatever.
Yeah,
but
I can do that. All right. Yeah, so let me make sure I've turned that on the new phone. On your mobile device. Oh, now it asks approve. So I did have to enter the password, and now it asks for the approval.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So you didn't have to do that?
Nope. I can go look at I made a video of this. Let me see if I can find it. But I don't.
I'm making a video of it, too, but we'll cut it all out.
Sure.
Yep. Cut all the good parts
I had to
out.
Edit mine as well. Yeah. But
sign in and secure it. No barriers. No barriers.
Do it.
Click on barriers. How do you want to sign in? Use instant sign in, right?
Yeah, so the thing
to
comes on.
To be ready to play as soon as the Xbox is turned on. Only one person can use it. So, but if somebody else wants to play.
Yeah, they can just sign in and it will sign you up.
Do I want to take speech to the next level?
I think you do. But it's not going to matter because you don't have a Kinect. So.
Well, I do have a Kinect. Okay.
Oh, okay, but it's not connected, right? So,
well, it will be.
It's funny to me that it asks you this, but
so you need a headset, which you can put on the. Of course, the controller has a headset, and then, or you can, and then you could say, "Hey, Cortana," and I could say, you know, I can ask it to do stuff. Like, can I say, "Hey, Cortana, play Call of Duty World War II?" I wonder. Inquiring minds. Xbox Game Pass, 100 plus games. Try 14 days for free. The only choice is continue. I don't want that. Thank you. Bye. Okay. Time zone. Okay. That's all correct. Now. Do I want to be a good person and save energy?
No, you don't. No.
Instant on.
Listen, you live in California. You guys are already doing it.
I got solar power. It's okay. Keep it up to date. Why wouldn't
always.
I? Yeah,
always.
Yeah,
always do that. Yeah.
All right. What the what? Get ready. Stand back. Oh, my God. Here it comes. It's in Dolby Stereo surround. Well, that was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
I don't really need to learn how to redeem a prepaid code. Find friends.
Yep.
I have none. Or create an avatar. Or it should, but I sign in with my account, so it should have my avatar and all that stuff, right?
Yep.
There it is, ladies and germs. Pretty damned exciting. That's it, right? Super lucky tail. I can join the fun right now.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, you know, it's fun. Okay, that's interesting. You still have the old store logo there.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
It's not updated yet?
It should be.
Switch to 4K. Yeah, looks like your TV supports. It does. No, it's wrong. It's something wrong. Let's give it a try.
Okay, you're right.
It'll give you I'm sorry I did that. Well, that was fun. Yeah, it'll revert, right?
If you leave it alone, it will
It'll
back.
Revert. Okay.
I think so.
Looks like your TV supports. No, don't do anything. It's okay. Yeah.
See, some people are going to see that and think they have a 4K TV.
They're going to get so excited. All right. Let's take a break, because there is actually a very big story which broke late in
which
the week.
Which we just covered in great detail, I would say.
Yeah, besides that very big story, but it did break, and it's bizarre. Intel and AMD together at last.
Well, yes, sort of.
Sort of. Anyway, we'll...
There's some interesting stuff to this, too.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And yeah, there's some Windows news as well.
Yeah. In keeping with the name.
In keeping with the name Windows Weekly. But first, a word from our fine sponsor. Go ahead. Paul's cracking a tall, cool one. Mary Jo, you go right ahead as well. Be my guest while I talk about my blog.
I love my blog.
LeoLaporte.com. For a long time, I think I started using WordPress when Matt Mullenweg first wrote it. So like early days. And I did what at the time you had to do, which was I hosted it on my own server. Had a WordPress blog for a long time. But what I found was I was spending a lot of time on the blog, maintaining it, updating it, keeping, you know, adding plugins, messing around with the templates, and a lot less time actually blogging. And you probably noticed if you ever went to my blog. Fortunately, along came WordPress.com, and I love WordPress.com. I get all the benefit of WordPress, but they host it, by the way, for less than I was paying for my hosting. They host it. They keep it up to date. They have all the plugins and all the themes. In fact, with my pro account, I can import plugins and themes from anywhere. They'll keep it up to date. I love it. We love WordPress. We know that building something new, something that others connect with, is a lot easier if you have the right tools. And if you have a business of any kind, or you want to write a blog, or, you know, if you're posting to social media right now, you should have a website where all that stuff lives officially, because you never know. You know, Facebook owns your stuff. Instagram owns your stuff. Twitter owns your stuff. You own your blog, and that's the best way to go. You don't need experience. You don't need to hire somebody. I know if you're trying to get a business site, you've got other things to do. WordPress.com, my friend. They take care of the whole technical side. They keep it up to date. It's easy to get your site up and running. All you have to do is put content there. And by the way, their beautiful templates make it very easy to switch the look and feel and functionality of your site. Just click away. The content remains the same. Their customer support team is fabulous. I actually used them a few times just to see, and they were great, responsive, very helpful. And they're there 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and on weekends too. Starts at just $4 a month. Here's the final selling point. 28% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress. 28%. Shouldn't yours? WordPress.com/windows. Get 15% off any new plan purchase. WordPress. I love it. Go see my blog, LeoLaporte.com. WordPress.com/windows. What are you going to do with WordPress? Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, AMD. This was so strange. I almost felt like I had to rub my eyes when I read it.
Yep.
So what are they doing? What is AMD doing with Microsoft? Intel. What is Intel doing with AMD? What is happening?
How do we even explain this?
I know.
Please.
Well, aside from the AMD partnership that's occurring here, the interesting thing here to me is that Intel, a couple months back, started shipping their first 8th generation core processors for mobile. And then about a month ago, which, remember, quad core parts, right, which is kind of the big deal this time around. Actually, I might be screwing up the timing on this. And then there was also a desktop release as well. What this is doing is bringing discrete graphics on chip to those same processors, right? So this is a new high-end version. In the past, to get discrete graphics into a laptop, you had to have a thicker, heavier device. But by building discrete graphics into the chipset, you can still have that thin Ultrabook-style form factor. So it's kind of one of those best of both worlds. So obviously for gamers, but also for content creators, people who use, you know, video editors, whatever, that kind of thing. So that's the technical part of it. Actually, this is some integrated RAM.
Does this
as well,
replace Iris, the Intel built-in graphics?
Yeah, I would say it does. Yeah. Yeah. So this is true discrete graphics built on die with the chip, with the CPU itself, right? These are all, I'm sure it's a system on a chip type system, but it's what it's basically doing is enabling kind of portable workstation class performance in what was historically been like an ultrabook form factor.
So it's not two chips on a single die, or is it?
I'm not a hardware expert, but
the details aren't clear.
Yeah, there's like, you know, they have that cute little picture of the little board, right? So I guess if you think about a modern laptop, like the Surface Book, the discrete graphics are quite far away geographically or physically from the other chip because they're in a different part of the machine. But those two things are two separate chips. And so if you look at that image, what they're basically saying is, look, there are those two different chips. And here, I guess you could argue those are two chips on a little board, but it's obviously a dramatic reduction in form factor size. You know, that whole SoC over on the right is not that much bigger than just one of the chips.
One of the chips. And there's no reason nowadays not to do this, especially if you're going to a 14 nanometer or a smaller process, 10 nanometer. You got lots of room.
But so everything I just said is super logical. Right? Anyone could nod their head along to that, be like, yep, that makes tons of sense. There's this one little wrinkle, and that is, Mary Jo, that the discrete graphics are coming from AMD, Intel's biggest competitor.
Does this mean AMD is no longer considered a threat to Intel?
No. Well, I don't consider them a threat, personally, but... We have to guess, right?
I thought with Ryzen and some of the Threadripper and some of the new stuff, maybe they were, but obviously Intel doesn't think that.
There are a bunch of things that go into this. This is part of the conversation we want to have.
Or maybe they think Radeon ATI graphics, because really this was an acquisition.
Yeah. There are basically two graphics companies on Earth that matter, right? NVIDIA, and actually that's the only one, but there's NVIDIA and then there's Radeon, and Radeon is owned by AMD. I have to guess because I don't understand the companies or how they work and how they do things, but it seems like maybe Radeon is semi-independent. You know, the announcement where they talk about this, they refer to this company as AMD Radeon, not as AMD by itself.
Yeah, it's the old ATI.
Yeah.
And as Brian Guy says in our chat room, what it may mean is that Intel's more threatened by NVIDIA.
Yes.
Than it is by AMD.
And or ARM, right? So
I think ARM.
All of the stuff around the 8th generation processors, including this, cements Intel's competitive position moving forward because one of the big things that's happening by the end of the year to start is the introduction of ARM to the Windows/PC world. Those machines are going to have a big advantage for battery life or just what we might call mobility. Right, that the thin and light segment, you could make an argument, assuming everything works fine, which it looks like it's going to, they may be able to seize that part of the market from Intel and also from AMD, by the way. So it makes sense for these companies to kind of circle the wagons around the one thing that really matters to them from a growth perspective, which is performance, right? Gaming PCs, premium PCs of whatever kind. This is the one advantage that Intel and co. will have for the foreseeable future. So Intel's really turned it up. You know, quad-core processors and Ultrabooks, that was big enough. I mean, I thought that was kind of incredible, just what they just did. But now they've added discrete graphics to it as well. I mean, they've basically built years of protection for this part of the market. And remember, when you think about the PC market, which is falling, is, you know, not slowing, but getting smaller every year, the one part that's growing is this part, right? And so they're really rallying around the part of the PC market that makes sense for everybody who has a stake, Microsoft, the PC makers, and the chip makers.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not an AMD fanboy, and B, if you're not really paying attention to this rivalry, the historic rivalry, you would say, hey, that's great. I'm going to get the equivalent of this is discrete graphics on motherboard graphics.
You know what this is, Leo? I'm gonna tie this right into Call of Duty. This is just like in World War II, when the United States and the Soviet Union were allies because there was a greater foe to worry about.
Right.
Yeah. And yes, I just compared ARM to the Nazis.
No, they're our friends. Come on.
I'm joking. But
maybe not ARM. Maybe NVIDIA itself. really.
I would, yeah, well, Qualcomm with the chips, right? So it's Qualcomm and NVIDIA, I would say. So it's ARM is what it really is. Because remember, Windows on ARM is going to start with Qualcomm, but that's not the end of it. It's going to expand out from there. So I mean, I think we both see it this way, but I see it certainly as these guys putting a stake in the ground and saying, this is where we're going to make a stand. And it makes sense because this is where they own it. And so for customers that want to buy gaming PCs, for customers that want to use Adobe products or whatever creator type products, you know, VR or whatever, you're going to want to go Intel. You're going to want to go with these chips. You know, this is the way forward.
Smart. And that's bad news for AMD, frankly. That's why I'm kind of surprised. But maybe they're just cutting their losses and saying, all right, we give up. I have to say, if it weren't for AMD, I don't think Intel would be as good as it is. It wasn't until AMD really challenged it that Intel away from the...
X64 only exists because of AMD. But yeah. It's interesting that for the ARM generation, for this new era of competition, instead of buying some company or coming out with something that can kind of compete on the mobility end of it, they're kind of falling back on their strengths. I mean, and I don't know if that's like an admission that they can't compete at that level, but they may be looking at this and realizing like, look, there's nothing we can do about this. I mean, if you had two, I mean, imagine if Microsoft was selling a Surface laptop like they are today, and the Intel version gets whatever the number is, 9 hours of battery life. And then over here is an ARM version of that same exact laptop. They're identical looking. But that one gets 18 hours of battery life, right? So, okay, all other things being equal, which one would you buy? You'd buy the one that got the 18 hours of battery life. Well, now this thing can have discrete graphics, though, over on the Intel side. So quad-core processing, right? If you're going to run Photoshop, you want to play games occasionally, you're going to even run Excel, stuff like that, you're going to see much better performance on that device. Now it's like the PlayStation versus Xbox thing. It's not... The decision isn't made in a vacuum, but you have to factor in this other stuff, right? Is it better to have still decent battery life but way better performance? Yeah, for a lot of people it is. And that's where they get their advantage, right? This is where that starts to make a lot of sense.
You don't have to sell me on the benefit of this. In fact, it's one of the things that I say all the time that's really counter to the way the industry runs, but it's a shame that we're all so siloed. That there are natural partnerships that would make everything better for consumers, but companies don't do it because, AMD's a rival, for instance. Mm. And this is I think this is great. I mean, you can call them frenemies. They probably have a lot. There's the contracts probably.
Co-opetition or
whatever. The contract's probably 4 or 5 inches thick because I'm sure AMD wants to stay in the process.
Honestly, this isn't that shocking. Not really. I mean, it is because it's never happened.
It makes
before,
a lot of sense. Samsung makes the displays
in iPhones.
Right.
Right. Qualcomm makes half the chips that are in iPhones, although apparently that's about to change. You know, this is what happens, right? These companies may compete on one level, and they may partner on one level. That's how Microsoft and Apple have done this over the years in different ways.
In Apple's case, they actually severed ties with their GPU partner, Imagine, and said, we're going to do it ourselves. And it really...
Well, they're super predatory that way, right?
Yeah,
like we'll use you as long as we need to, and
it
then
shows
we'll spit
you
out like you are a chum the second we don't.
It makes me feel like Intel's kind of admitting, we don't have the talent really to do this.
Like here comes Qualcomm, right? And here comes Windows on ARM, and we better ally ourselves with somebody and make the best of this because otherwise, who knows what's going to happen to us.
But you see the difference? Apple's response would be, we're going to make our own GPU that's better instead of Iris. Intel said, we can't do this. So let's go to the guy who's doing the best.
Well, okay.
Or second best, anyway.
It's funny, as we're kind of talking through this, what I'm reminded of, because I basically just said it, was remember that AMD was the one that came up with X64. Intel adopted that. Every PC that's made on Earth today uses this architecture. In some ways, that is far more incredible than shipping a Radeon DGPU on a chipset like for laptops. I mean, that if they can partner to that level, and I don't know if you'd call it a partnership, however you want to think of that, but for them to basically make that implicit decision.
That was a surrender because Intel had gone down the wrong road.
Yep.
With what it was, the quaternium, whatever the hell they called that, the molybdenum, and and it didn't work.
Right.
I mean, the Itanium was as big as that Xbox console. You get there.
It's, and it was heating up, and it was a big CISC platform. It didn't work. So that's what I mean, that AMD was a very valuable player in the market for us as users because it put the screws to Intel. And Intel went down a wrong road, and AMD said, no.
And it's a tough lot in life if you're an AMD fan, because I think that, unfortunately, the thing you have to hold on to is, you know, this company's inspired the market leader to be better. You know, it's like, great. You know, that's not really what people are looking for necessarily.
We got to point out, you already did. Nobody's going to jump in up and down because you have Radeon graphics in your Intel chip, right? NVIDIA is the king of the road here.
But here's, I don't have this computer in front of me, right? I don't know what it looks like. But I guess the thing I would say is, you know, today a DGPU system looks like Surface Book. It looks like the Dell XPS 15. This is a pretty thick computer. It gets hot. The battery life isn't going to be fantastic because those things draw a lot of power. If you can integrate that onto a smaller chip, what we're talking about now is an Ultrabook form factor.
And it'll probably be better than Iris graphics, the high-end Intel.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, this is like this is gaming PC class. Yeah.
Well, but if you want a gaming PC, you might prefer to have an Intel chip with an NVIDIA GPU.
Yes, but of course. By the way, that's absolutely true. No doubt about it. But I mean, I think the thing that's interesting here is you get the one computer that can kind of do everything, right?
This kind of says there is more to GPUs than gaming. That now users need a fast graphics processor for video editing and for photo editing and for Instagram filters or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it kind of acknowledges that that's the case. And
that's Microsoft's whole pitch for Surface Book 2. Remember that when they were saying this is the audience, right?
That's kind of been their pitch for a little while. But I would say with Surface Book 2, it's finally true, where that device for the first time does offer gaming, gaming PC quality graphics, like literally. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a, you pay for that in terms of not just the cost, but the size, the weight, the thickness of that thing.
Now we can do a Surface laptop.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. That's absolutely true. I mean, even before this, remember, you go back in 30 days and look at the quad-core parts that they announced and are shipping in new PCs, and you're like, geez, like this really changes things from a performance standpoint. It's incredible. If they had left that alone for a year, it would have been really incredible. Mm. A month later, they announced this it's still quad-core, but now we're adding dedicated graphics, like discrete graphics. That's incredible. Mm. Mm-hmm. Again, without requiring bigger, thicker, heavier computers. I mean, it's that's really fast. And you don't move that fast unless you have to, right? I mean, and you don't partner with other companies who are competitors unless you have to. And I really think that what this ties to is what's going on with Windows and ARM, which, you know, again, has been kind of quiet recently, but I think that's about to explode.
So, if you're Qualcomm, do you go do a deal with NVIDIA?
Well, I was just thinking, so there is this other thing, right, which is let's say you have a normal laptop, like the machine that Mary Jo or I are using right now, like the normal laptop that we travel with, which doesn't have discrete graphics. It's just like kind of an ultrabooky kind of computer. You can connect it to this external thing, which is a DGPU. If you have a computer that has Thunderbolt 3, one cable, power, DGPU, out to a display, it's a gaming computer all of a sudden. If I was NVIDIA, I would be calling Qualcomm right now and saying, hey, do you want to do that? Let's put Intel out of business, you know, because the truth is they might be able to do the on-chip thing. I don't know about that. But one thing they could absolutely do right now is external graphics like that. And
that's interesting. You're right.
I assume they have plans for that because it wouldn't be hard, I don't think, for the ARM side of the fence to kind of rally around something like that and say, but you know, we can do this too, by the way. I mean, we can add graphics.
Well, and NVIDIA, by the way, has pretty good, you know, the K1 Tegra. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have some good chips, general purpose microprocessors in addition to graphics processors.
Yeah.
So, and they are ARM based, of course. So what is, okay, so is this related, you think, to Broadcom's bid to buy Qualcomm?
Yeah, I mean, what does anybody know off the top of the head? Well, like, what's the biggest deal that's ever occurred in the piece or the personal technology or technology industry? Like, what's the biggest deal so far?
That's a good
question. Think of any? I mean,
well,
I know.
Microsoft bought Skype for $3.2 billion. That wasn't that big, right?
LinkedIn was $26 billion.
$26 billion.
Yep. The Yahoo purchase would have been in the 40s, right? Remember, that was like 40
yeah, 45,
something billion. That,
right?
That would have been the biggest. These guys have basically said, we're going to offer you $103 billion, and if you say no, we're probably going to do a hostile takeover. How does that sound?
Oh, I know what the biggest one
like
is.
They've literally made the Darth Vader deal with Qualcomm.
This is the biggest one of all time. The biggest one up to now was Dell and EMC.
Okay, and how big was that?
$67
billion. Oh, that's big. Okay.
And before that, Avago bought Broadcom for $37 million. Microsoft
Avago bought Broadcom. Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Facebook buys WhatsApp for $22 billion.
And so the Avago
HP
thing,
Compact
was they're like flippers or something.
HP Compact was only $18.6 billion.
Yeah, but at the time, that was probably the biggest deal in the world, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, when it happened. And that was a long time ago.
Time Warner AOL. I don't even know where that is on the chart. That's so funny. Yeah.
I want to say that was in the 20s, something like that. I have a vague memory of that. 26, something like that.
That, along with the HP acquisition, 16.5. No, ooh, wait a minute. Ooh, no. AT&T Time Warner.
Mm-hmm. Well, AT&T Time Warner is...
is much bigger.
Is it? How big is that?
$165 billion.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Oof. That's like half the Middle East. We're going to need a new measuring stick.
Can that be right?
The thing is, you know, most Americans certainly, but most people, most normal people, I bet, have never heard of either one of these companies. Right? I mean, they sound vaguely technology related. They both have com in their name. But I don't think anyone knows who these companies are. And, you know, the very notion that an ARM, like probably the major ARM chipset maker, is worth like $100+ billion is crazy time. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know? How do you even finance something like that? Like, how much cash and cash-like assets does Microsoft
cash
have?
It's mostly cash, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, how do you even afford that?
So
who has that money?
My
Apple?
Question, I don't know enough about this, is this a hostile takeover? Because they are offering a significant premium over the stock price.
Well, they've literally said they're open to hostile takeover if that's what it takes.
Okay. I mean, you know, when you offer 30% over face value,
we're gonna make you a deal you can't refuse. Yeah. And oh, by the way, if you do refuse it, you're screwed.
The board will say yes anyway, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it says with or without Broadcom, we're going to buy it.
That's incredible.
With you or without you. You can go the easy way or you can go the hard way.
Yep. You're going to take the medicine one way or the other.
But you're going,
you want
buddy.
It, you can mix it in with the applesauce. It's up to you.
60,
you know what? You know what? When I heard both of these things, I was wondering, remember when Intel kind of threatened Qualcomm around the Microsoft Windows on ARM stuff? And they're like, you know, better have all your patents in order if you want to do emulation on ARM. No, we never heard anything after that
either. Never
heard
anything from that again. And that was the most bizarre thing. As I recall,
it was
that event, that thing you're referring to, it was like an Intel blog post. It was talking about innovation in the PC space. Yep. And it was like the anniversary of the x86 chip or something like that.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, by the way, we're going to sue the hell out of Qualcomm if they think they're going to do this. I was like, wait, what's going on
here? It was like the last paragraph.
It was like
I'm
a birthday
like,
card
a minute,
with a
what?
Threat at the end. You're like, happy birthday. You look years younger. Oh, by the way, I'm going to sue you.
Very Sopranos. You know,
like, what?
Yeah, so we'll know about that pretty soon, given Windows on ARM is around the corner, coming out before the end of the year on first devices, right?
It's not like this is happening in outer space. I mean, Microsoft has been promoting
it. It's like happening now. Yeah.
It's really strange. So here we go. I mean, this is it. We've got, I mean, Intel and AMD, arch rivals, combining on, admittedly, a fairly small thing, but on they're partnering. And then over here, we've got like the new challenger that no one's ever heard of is now on the block for over $100 billion.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's the smartphone. A lot of that, I really think.
Yeah.
You know, Broadcom makes the radios. Qualcomm makes the processors.
I keep talking about this stuff, and I really feel like, especially in the Microsoft space, a lot of people don't understand this, even though the numbers are very obvious and easy to see. PC market is, you know, a thing, and the phone market is like
a really big
close.
Thing.
Like it's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not
even close. It's Apple's ability to print money.
Yeah.
Is unparalleled.
That's like Apple Pay Cash. I made a joke about that on Twitter. I think money just comes out of the bottom of the iPhone X. If you tell it how much you want,
it's true.
It just kind of spits it out.
Yep.
All right. Windows 10.
Yes, Windows 10.
Remember that?
Back to reality.
Whatever happened to Windows?
Yeah. We're going to be asking ourselves that question. Remember that thing we used to always talk about?
Yeah, it was Windows. Called, what was the name of that show again?
Something with a W.
I forgot. Yeah. Windows.
Where's Car 54?
Redstone 4 is the. Yep. So, Fall Creators Update is everywhere.
Yep, that's out.
It's out.
Not everywhere, but it's on its
really feet. Rolling fast.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Faster than last year, the spring update.
Oh, yeah.
Not last year, last update. And of course, that means that they're working on, what are they going to call this? We don't know yet. The spring. Are they going to stick with the creators or they're going to go somewhere?
We don't know.
Somewhere new probably, right?
I don't know. You know, they're really hung up on this creators message. So
that's what we were just talking about, really. This is the high end pro users.
Who need
it speaks to the part of the market that's growing. I think that has a big part to do with this. Remind people, like, this is what we're all about, you know, in the PC space.
Let's just hope it's not creator spring update, because then we're going to start getting super confused.
Listen, if you were going to bet money on a name, that would be the name.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, that would be the name.
1803, right. Baby.
Yeah. 1803 means probably out around March, April of 2018.
They're not calling it 1803 yet, are they?
Well, you know what's funny? They are calling it that. For IT pros, they go by those numbers, like, you know, 1703, 1803.
Frankly,
they don't call it all
I have
creators.
To even... Here's the funny thing. It's at the high end and also at the low end. When I talk on the radio about it, if I say the Fall Creators Update, people go, huh?
Yeah.
But I say, well, the version number is 1709. And then they go, oh, they know that.
I don't understand why they don't just embrace this and run with it. The server team does it exactly right, although I don't like the Oxford comma they put in there. But other than that, I think it makes plenty of sense.
It's 1709?
They say Windows 10, comma. Version 1709.
No.
It's like, guys,
no, there's no comma. That's a comma blunder.
There's no comma.
That's a comma blunder.
But yes, anyway, right before today's show started, they rolled out a new build of Redstone 4, which is kind of interesting. There's
features.
A couple new things. They've got a thing in there called Near Share, which allows people to wirelessly share files, photos, URLs between PCs. That's brand new in that build. So to test that, by the way, you have to have two machines both running Redstone 4 to try that out. Yeah. What else is in there? They've got shop for Surface hardware through the Microsoft Store is there now, which we kind of thought was going to happen. Like, we thought that because they renamed Windows Store Microsoft Store, you would be able to do other kinds of purchases. So this is happening. Some things around EPUB books being able to be saved now. A mute a tab feature in Edge, yes, which is great for all those autoplay things. Also, you can limit the download bandwidth for foreground downloads with this release, which is also good. Lots of tweaks of settings and how things are grouped in settings. So yeah, it's got quite a few small features. Nothing I would say is a major giant feature being revealed yet, but it's starting to take shape. This is build 1735. Yeah,
there's a bunch of Edge stuff, and some of it's actually kind of interesting. So in I don't remember what happened, but in the last release, I guess they added the ebook store. You can view EPUB files in the browser, which is neat. You can do all kinds of things with them. You can mark them up and so forth. You can buy books from Microsoft and read them in the browser, which I think is a little goofy. But the one thing they never brought together was those two separate things. Like, I find an EPUB file, I have it. I can't add it to my cloud collection and then view it on other computers. They actually did add that in this build. It's such an obvious feature. For some reason, protected EPUB ebooks and non-protected EPUB files were separate previously. So now they're, you know, bringing that together. That's cool. I mean, that's, you know, it's...
Yeah.
honestly, it's of more interest to me than buying books from Microsoft. Like, I'd rather have like the free ebooks or ebooks I acquired elsewhere that are in that format. I can just put them in and have them sync to the cloud. Yeah. Like, that's actually pretty useful.
Yeah. And they did. They are having a bug with AMD processors with this build. So right now you cannot get it. Yep. Coincidental? I think not. I think it is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
But they think they can fix it and we'll be able to get it out to you if you have an AMD processor at some point. So yeah, Redstone 4 coming along. But there's so much we don't know about Redstone 4 still. And not just the name. Like, we don't know what the major features are of this thing yet.
Yeah, there's no real hint at what the major feature is. Although, I think a big part of it's probably going to be the cross-device sync stuff, right? And that this share nearby feature, whatever it's called, is probably going to be rolled into that. Because one of the things you might have nearby would be your phone or a tablet. And it makes sense for that to be part of that whole process. You know, PC to PC makes tons of sense. You shouldn't have to make a person think about whether something's nearby or not. Like, it almost seems like I just want to share this thing, and whatever devices I have, wherever they may be, should come up on some list or whatever. And so I'm sure they'll iron that out, but it's a good
idea. You know, they have that continue on PC thing right now, right? And that's also about sharing things between your devices. But I wonder, well, do you think that'll just collapse into one sharing thing, or will there be two different kinds of ways to share?
It's too goofy. Yeah, that's what that's what I'm saying. Like, in other words, for right now, it makes sense. They'll do it on PC to PC, Redstone 4 only, fine. But those apps will have to be updated to accommodate this as well, I would think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Fall Creators Update on IoT is also going out.
Yep, that's all we need to say about that.
I know.
Well, it's a good thing. I'm trying to think of, I don't know, I don't think I have anything running Windows 10 IoT. I don't even know, what runs Windows 10 IoT?
It's completely understandable why they have a play in this market. It's not clear to me who is using it.
There's always been Windows embedded. Which is
right. It's basically that market.
Yeah.
This is the new take on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like ruggedized handheld computers, point of sale terminals, all those kind of things. Kiosks.
But not
signs.
Your doorbell, your microwave oven.
Maybe one day you could have it in some of those things.
I have a smart oven that runs Android of all things.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things run Linux, right?
Android
is a version of Linux. Chip.
Yeah.
I think the Windows IoT stuff is slightly upscale from that, if you will. I mean, it doesn't require a screen, obviously, but I think a lot of times you'll see that kind of thing. Every device in my office just started ringing.
I know. I just was like, is that me?
So I've lost my train of thought because it's still ringing in my ear. Because
you know what?
I don't know. One of the things on Google is the calls come through Google websites.
Oh, I know. It's really annoying, isn't it?
And I don't know how to configure that. I don't know what that is. Very strange.
Windows 10 Enterprise users are going to be able to integrate third-party security services with a Windows 10 Defender ATP? Not API. ATP.
ATP.
Right. What's that?
Advanced Threat Protection.
Ooh.
Ooh. So if you're a Windows 10 Enterprise user, you probably know about Defender ATP, which is this threat detection and remediation service that is built into Windows 10 Enterprise. So today they announced that they're going to be working with other third parties like Bitdefender, Lookout, Ziftin. I had never heard of Ziftin until today. So that they're bringing Windows Defender ATP across platform in a way. So if you have these other third-party security services running on Android, macOS, Linux, or iOS, you're going to be able to connect in with Windows Defender ATP. And instead of just being able to defend Windows devices, now you're going to be able to also look at what's going on with your other devices. So it's in preview now for Bitdefender. The other two previews are supposed to start soon, but it sounds like they're going to do this with other security vendors too, and this is just the beginning of this partnership. So it's kind of an interesting idea.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't know Zif. Is it Ziftin?
Ziftin.
Ziftin.
Never heard of that. There are we were talking about antiviruses yesterday on Security Now, and Steve was saying there's 64 antiviruses that have this problem. I said, I didn't even know there were 64 antiviruses.
No.
There's a lot of this stuff out there. We have, I found a an example of Windows 10 IoT. This is from the Texas Stadium. Thank you to Zephyr for passing this along. It's the scoreboard. It says Windows did not shut down successfully.
Yeah, there you go.
That is amazing.
And it's
that is
free.
The best one I've ever seen.
That is really good. I wonder if it was crawling across the...
Yeah, I hope so. That's beautiful.
Man. But there's an example of IoT.
That's IoT right there. The scoreboard. IoT. Windows for scoreboards.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What is... if I may ask, a highly secure Windows 10 PC. How does that differ from what I've got?
Yeah, Paul, did you see this? Did you see this story? Like, it was kind of trickled out there.
It's like the always connected PC, but for security.
Yeah. So there's a whole new document that Microsoft has publicized that say, here's what the minimum hardware and firmware requirements are if you want something that's considered a highly secure Windows 10 device.
Oh, well, that's
was one of those requirements Microsoft 365?
I don't know if it was, but you know, it's interesting where the cutoff is because I didn't write the story. Someone on our site did. They said if you've got a Surface Pro 4, which has a sixth generation Intel processor, it does not meet these new standards.
Oh, you have to be eighth?
Yeah. It's like you have to be above that, right? Seventh generation Intel Core, i5, i7, i9, M3, Xeon processors.
So KB or coffee like then.
Yeah, they're like upping the line. So, you know,
they are really aggressive pushing on the new stuff. You know,
they are.
They really are.
And so, you know, do you need what's considered a highly secure device? No, but people are asking, so what does
I'd
this
like
mean, though?
One, if I could have
again,
one.
Is there going to be a cutoff sometime where they say,
I prefer a highly secure device.
Does it have to be in a room without an internet connection?
Or if you don't have one, you don't get the next version of Windows 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I do want
That's what people are wondering, right? Like, is that a cutoff thing, right? They didn't say that, but people are wondering.
That's crazy.
I'm sure whoever put that out is kind of regretting it at this point. Maybe not. Maybe this is...
I don't see a lot of regret coming from this part of the world these days, but...
Not really.
And let's finally, the mysterious Swing... first of all, what is the Swing acquisition?
Yeah, okay. I was curious if anyone had ever heard of these guys before. I had not. So in their bio, they claim to be one of the most... what is it called? Top featured product in the Apple App Store and Apple retail stores. They are like a living photo app company. And so what's interesting is Swing.
No, it's crazy.
I know. Swing put out a press release saying, hey, Microsoft. Basically, it looked like Microsoft bought us. And Microsoft never put anything out at all about this. And so it turns out, I think what happened is Microsoft's acquiring their people and their technology, but not the whole company for some reason. But Microsoft won't even clarify if that's what happened. So the whole thing is very odd. It's like Swing announced this. Yeah, their press release says Swing joins Microsoft. Wouldn't you think that means they were acquired?
Yep.
It's, you know, it's really what will help you get free dinners and dates. Is, you know, yes, my startup was acquired by Microsoft versus we went out of business and Microsoft swooped in and snapped up the assets. Yeah.
But here's what's interesting about this deal and why I kind of grouped it in with the Windows stuff. So I thought, okay, they're going to use this technology with some of these new apps they've been building for Windows, like the photo remix thing. Wouldn't you think that might fit in
totally
there?
Totally makes sense. Obviously, they're doing that.
No, they're not. No. They're using this for Skype.
For Skype.
Yeah. No explanation
how. Because you know the thing that Skype has been lacking, Mary Jo, is the ability to send something animated to other people.
Yes. I've sent you a few animations, I believe.
More than a few.
So I don't know. The press release is also somewhat
vague,
misleading in terms of them being the number one whatever.
It is.
2.7 stars on the Windows, the Microsoft App Store. Reviews pretty much negative. This app has been broken and has not been fixed in a month. There's been no response from the developer.
Maybe because they got bought.
maybe.
Or whatever.
Maybe.
But my question is, what you know, like, okay, I guess they're going to animate more things in Skype Consumer with this, but...
Well, here's what the App Store, the Apple App Store says. Like a photogenic phoenix, Polaroid has risen again. Oh, it's from Polaroid. This time around, they've ditched physical photos in favor of something a bit like GIFs. Playable, rewindable, moving pics. With a swipe or a tilt of your hand, these pictures come to life. It's hard to explain. and irresistibly captivating. Is it really Polaroid, though?
So this kind of thing is built into every camera app on Earth now, right? Like Apple does
Living Images, right?
Yeah. Right, well, I installed it.
Nokia Google did. Has it.
Microsoft had it. Nokia had it. Yep.
Yep.
So
do you have to touch it to make it go?
I've never used it.
It is. You know what it is? It's boomerang.
Oh, is it?
Sure. Oh, sorry. Something went wrong. Well, yeah, you can't sign up anymore. That's apparently.
Yeah.
So.
No, we don't know what they're really going to do with this. We don't know how many people came over. We don't know how much it was paid. We don't know anything. Nobody's talking. So it's very mysterious.
Yeah. And it's kind of dopey. You know what? It's an acqui-hire, I bet.
Yeah. Acqui-hire, basically, right?
Yeah. Living
it sounds
photo.
Like a part you need for like an aquarium.
I need an aquarium. How much is that going to run me? 42 with the
20 gallons.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let's take a break because I'm exhausted after all that, and besides, I'm ready to play Call of Duty World War II.
Yes.
Back of the book. Coming up, Paul's going to give us some good tips for getting that Xbox One X set up.
I have a few tips for the single-player campaign as well.
I would like those. I'm going home to play it. I'm telling you right now. Well, after Twig. Our show today brought to you by our great new sponsor, but a company I am totally down with. I've known Smile Software forever, and I've used their kind of premier product, Text Expander, even longer. Longer than forever. And what's really cool, it's now available for Windows. So... It happens all the time. It happens at home. You know, there's stuff I type over and over again. My email address, my mailing address, boilerplate in my email. I'm ashamed to say I frequently use boilerplate. Text Expander stores all these snippets, and with a stroke of a key or a click of a mouse, it even has a very pleasant bloop sound, pops it right in there. So it saves me lots of time typing. And the new Text Expander... is even better. We use it in business. So this is one of the reasons I'm glad it's on Windows. It's on Windows and Mac. And you can have a Text Expander business account. We do it to it because it turns out there's lots of things we all type over and over again. They're in our company-wide snippet folder, and we can easily access them. And the marketing department can update the mission statement, the producers can update their Skype call instructions, and we all have them available to us. If you add a section to your website focused on customer service, well, you just update the signature to read, visit TextExpander.com to learn more about using TextExpander for customer service and support, things like that. Without TextExpander, you'd have to send an email to everybody with a new text. Maybe some of them would do it, some of them wouldn't. It is really cool to have these snippets that you use all the time updated constantly, always, you know, and so the company message is clear across the board. With Text Expander, your marketing person edits the shared snippet with a new message. It doesn't have to be marketing. It could be engineering, could be producers, could be anybody. So it's available to everyone. I love this. This is the power and magic of shared snippets and just one example of what your team can do to communicate smarter with Text Expander. Frankly, I put it on every computer I use. And it's easy to move your abbreviations around. I actually store them in Dropbox, and I always have them. By the way, iPad and iPhone, too. So Windows, Mac, iPad, and iPhone. And you know one of the fun things? They'll give you statistics of how much time you've spent with Text Expander. The average user says saves 2 to 4 hours a month. If you use it a lot, as I do, maybe even more. That's time spent not typing. Recall your best words instantly, repeatedly, accurately. Oh, by the way, I use the text expander spelling dictionaries, the autocorrect dictionary, for common misspellings, even things like the. If I type the, it will automatically go bloop and fix it into the. TextExpander.com/Windows. Brand new for Windows from Smile Software. TextExpander.com/Windows. But a word of warning. You put it on one computer, you're going to put it on all of them. It is kind of a revolution in how you use your PC. TextExpander.com/Windows. We thank them so much for supporting Windows Weekly. Now we go to Mr. Paul Thurrott. Tear the controller out of his hands and let him do our tip of the week.
Yeah, so I think it was last week, yes, I talked about how you can connect a external drive to your current Xbox, transfer your games and settings over, and then when your Xbox One X arrives, plug it in.
I'm ready.
And just get started.
Woo-hoo.
Now, if you didn't do that, and you do already have an Xbox, and you get a new Xbox, you can do something. It's not quite as fast, but it's a lot faster than re-downloading the games manually from the internet, and that's called network transfer. Basically, what you have to do is enable a setting on the sending console, and then on the new console, you just go into the same setting, and that console will show up. You can pick the games you want, and it will transfer them over your network. So, you know, on wireless, it's not going to be that fast, but if you have an Ethernet connection, which you should, that should work great. Sorry, it just got really dark here for some reason.
You're like a Frankenstein's monster in there.
I'm in a new place. I don't know where the sun is anymore, like a different time. I don't know. Sorry about that. Anyway, I wrote up an article about this on the site, but it's easy enough. It just I think it's settings, networking, network transfer. It's very easy to turn on, very easy to use. Hard drive's better, but if you don't have one or haven't done that, network transfer will work great. And then for the app pick, I've got one each for iOS and Android. Both of these are pretty cool. So we know that Microsoft has come up with preview versions of Edge on both Android and iOS. This week, they improved the iOS version with a bunch of new features, including support for actions and activity extensions, things like saving sites to notes or adding sites to Pocket, which is awesome. They've improved the battery life, and they've improved swipe navigation. So if you've used Edge on the mobile devices now, when you swipe across an article, you'll actually see it's kind of a full screen arrow will appear letting you know that you can, navigate that way. So that's pretty cool. And then the one on Android is even better. Pocket Cast, which is my favorite podcast app.
Love it.
It's $5 for the mobile version. Totally worth it.
You know, it's our number two way people listen to this show.
Oh, what's number one?
Oh, wow.
iTunes, then Pocket Cast.
No, okay. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. It's awesome.
It really is the best, yeah.
If you use Pocket Cast on Android and you have the latest version of Android 8.0 Oreo, they just added a bunch of new features to support that release. So that means like adaptive icons. In Android 8, you can have round icons, rounded rectangle icons, whatever, depending on the system maker or on the theme or the launcher you use. So it adapts now to whatever icon type your system supports. It has picture-in-picture support for video podcasts. So if you watch this podcast in video form, you can launch the podcast, click a pip button, and then go do other stuff in the system. And you can move the window around and watch it while you do other things. Notification channels, which is actually kind of a cool feature in the newest version of Android, where the app maker can decide to support different types of notifications for different things. And so in the Pocket Cast app, you can individually control whether and how you see notifications for downloads, new episodes, and playback. So in other words, you might say, I only want to see notifications for downloads, or it doesn't matter what you choose, but not for those other things, and you can configure that. And so it's, in other words, you don't just turn notifications on or off for an app. You can turn them on or off for individual notification types.
Every app would do that. I don't know why they don't. Because
it's so awesome.
You don't want a ton of notifications. You want certain things. Like there's a new podcast to listen to. Or I just got Windows Weekly. You want that.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's why I stopped myself in the middle. Because actually what you want is you want to know when there are new podcasts.
Yeah. But and not then if all you don't the other Android, stuff. I don't care the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't have Android 8, which most people don't, obviously, there are some other smaller improvements around battery life, background performance, faster image loading, that kind of thing. There's also a feature, it's like, I don't want to call it dynamic show notes, but when a podcast adds show notes, this app can show it. But what it didn't do before was if the podcast came back later and changed those notes, the change would never show up in the app, and now it does. So they added that for everybody as well. So this app is $6. It's not free, but seriously, I love this thing. I highly recommend it.
Yes, couldn't agree more. Can I ask you a question, though, real quickly about the hard drive backup? So when I get this... I'm sorry, Mary Jo. When I get this Xbox One
X... Our caller today is Leo from Petaluma. You have a question?
Hello, Paul. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Is it iPhone X and Xbox One 10? Or is it iPhone? Okay, good.
Yeah, and actually, the X means they're compatible.
Compatible. So
you can use the iPhone as a controller for the Xbox.
I always wanted to do that. Now, I have an external. I have an external drive. I put all the 4K games on there. I put all the settings on there. Do I just plug it in and it will recognize it, and or do I have to like? There is a storage area where you can move stuff over. I mean, what do you do?
So the games will appear automatically. If you go into your games and app list, it will actually commingle them by default. You can actually you can choose to only display one or the other, whatever. For the settings, I believe you actually have to
suck them up, import them.
Yeah, I think you actually have to go into the settings app, and I guess you would call it restore the settings.
I think, as I remember, I couldn't put the settings on the Xbox formatted drive.
Let's look at it, shall we?
I can't remember. So I think I might have put a USB drive in for the settings. Anyway, so yeah, I'll import settings, but the games will just show up because it's connected.
Back at my settings. Makes sense. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I don't have the I don't have the drive plugged in. Sorry, I can't look at it right now.
It should be pretty straightforward.
I believe you need to restore the settings. I know that if you just plug in the drive, the games will work.
I love it because that saves me huge amounts of downloading time. And I did check the box as you recommended, download 4K assets, which it wouldn't have done because
just to be clear, by settings, I don't mean game settings. Like if you're playing a game like Call of Duty World War II or whatever,
that's a save.
That stuff's it's part of the game. It's in the cloud.
Yeah.
You'll get that automatically.
No, you mean the Xbox settings.
The Xbox settings. Like you might have a wallpaper or whatever.
Although color you'd scheme. Think that'd be part of the Microsoft account, as it is with Windows.
That's except why? I can't look at it right now because the where's the drive?
We'll talk next week. Mary Jo.
Yeah, I'll look at that. Yeah. I'll look at that.
We'll figure it out. Joe, thank goodness. Thank goodness it's time for the Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yes, thank goodness. And this actually is both an enterprise and a consumer pick. Today, Microsoft announced another integration that they've done between Office 365 and LinkedIn. It's a thing called Resume Assistant. So if you have the latest version of Word on Windows, you're going to be able to use this add-in to basically perfect your resume.
Well, this
it's
is
going
actually
to show
cool.
you.
This is a good
it's
idea.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So if, you know, it's going to take insights from all the different LinkedIn profiles. So if you're applying for a job that people who have similar roles in the similar industry have also applied for, you can look at how they've described their work.
Easy to plagiarize other people's resumes.
Pretty much.
Plagiarism is a service or pass.
My goodness, your resume looks a lot like Amy Owens' resume. We keep getting that.
This is
nice because LinkedIn also knows all my job history and stuff. I would hope it would also import some of that, right?
You would hope. It also has a secret setting, so you can turn on open candidates, so you can quietly tell recruiters that you're looking. Kind of hidden, a little hidden setting there.
Don't tell Lisa. I'm going to turn that on.
And then they're also integrating this with things like LinkedIn Learning, right? So if you are looking at other resumes and you're like, oh, everybody else has this skill except me, maybe I should take a class. Yeah. So finally, we're starting to see some of these LinkedIn integrations. We've been wondering, it's been a year since Microsoft actually acquired LinkedIn and it was all formalized. And here come some of these integrations. So if you are an Office insider, you're going to be able to start testing this today, I believe. Yeah, Office 365 subscribers who are in the Insider program can start testing today. You need the latest version of Word on Windows. It'll be generally available to Office 365 and Microsoft 365 subscribers in the coming months, both all the commercial and all the consumer plans. So, yeah, there you go.
Nice. I'm going to try it. That's free. It's just you just turn it on.
Yeah, you have to be an insider to try it right now.
Oh,
but
okay.
Ultimately, if you're an Office 365 subscriber, it will be free to you in your subscription.
And yep. I presume you'd have to be a LinkedIn subscriber as well.
I would assume that, but it never actually says that.
Oh, interesting. And our code name pick of the week.
Okay, I need you guys to help me with this code name because the code name is Cerberus.
Cerberus.
Project Cerberus.
The Hellhound.
It's... Right? Okay, Constellation, right?
Well, it's also the guardian of hell. It's the three-headed dog that guards hell.
Okay. But there's also a movie called Has Olympus Fallen that has a Cerberus reference in it as well. So the reason I'm asking about that is because Cerberus is the next phase of what Microsoft has already codenamed Project Olympus. Project Olympus was Microsoft...
How funny.
Right. Right.
So, oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second. So, but those names, the reason those names are used in the movie
is because
and are
of
used
the
by Microsoft are probably the same because they really just come from Greek mythology, right?
Yeah,
but it could be. It
do you remember
be
the movie,
like
Paul?
Play.
It's about the White House being taken over, right?
Yeah, no, it's what my wife would describe as a 90-minute long car chase. It's fantastic.
It's exactly what she hates. Yeah. But what is Cerberus in that?
Okay, so in the movie, Cerberus has something to do with a bunker. I've never seen this movie. I was just reading the Wikipedia entry.
It's probably like the president's bunker in the White House or something like that.
Yeah, that would make sense because he's the dog of hell. He's in Hades and he's guarding it. So maybe that's where the bunker is. That would make sense,
Right, so what Project Cerberus is has to do with guarding. It's a security thing. So Microsoft's designing this spec for a cryptographic microcontroller that can be used in data center servers.
That's cool.
That's tough.
Right.
That's tough.
You know, this is part of Open Compute Project. Microsoft already contributed their design for a data center server, but they're like, you know what? It needs to be really secure. So what if we go down to the microcontroller and firmware level and lock it down there? So that's what Cerberus is, Project Cerberus. And Microsoft's designing this with Intel, and they're making an open spec available for people who are in the Open Compute Project to look at and contribute to. So it's pretty interesting that this is taking lessons learned from what they've done in Azure in their own data center and making it available through the Open Compute Project to a wider group of companies and people.
I don't think you have to include Olympus Has Fallen in this for it to make sense. It's just a guard dog.
Yeah.
No, but I love that you did.
Yeah.
I did because I was like,
London has fallen into this narrative.
No, the reason I did was because sometimes we think Microsoft is taking the high road on code names and, you know, like constellations or nation states or whatever. And then it turns out, oh, no, we were using this movie we all love.
Their code names are all based on action movies.
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing. In the movie, it was the protocol that would launch an atomic war.
Oh. Okay.
Or help unleash a nationwide nuclear meltdown, actually.
Yikes. Well, then.
Doesn't seem like such a good idea, but I guess it was to keep...
If it was done in the name of safety.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And it has three different access codes. The president, the secretary of defense, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It was to do to prevent an ICBM from being accidentally launched.
Okay.
Hollywood screenwriters, they gotta.
You know what? That has some modern day applicability, really.
Yeah.
Without getting into politics.
Yeah, but I think it could be just as much that the screenwriters were thinking about the guard dog of hell, and Microsoft was thinking about the guard dog of hell. Maybe Microsoft was thinking
that's
about
what I was saying. Like, in other words, the real origin here is probably the Greek myth.
Right. That's right.
Right.
But if it could be that movie, that would be amazing.
That would be even more amazing, right?
Yeah. You know, it would be even more amazing. A fine beer for a winter's night.
Yes. I will give you one.
Please.
This beer is called Collaboration Number 7. That's the name of the beer. It's from Boulevard Brewing in Missouri. And the reason this beer is really interesting is, first, it's a collaboration from three really famous craft breweries. Arizona Wilderness is one of them. Creature Comforts and Boulevard Brewing, they all worked on this. And it's a lager of all things, aged in French oak barrels.
Ooh.
Using Riesling grape juice. And you're like, hearing all this, and you're like, wait a minute, whoa, too many things going on. Nope, they pull it off. It actually tastes really good. It's not hoppy. It's called an American Pale Lager, 6%. Very tasty. Would be a nice Thanksgiving beer, actually. Oh. Would go well with many foods.
I need that. What is a lager?
A lager is a beer that's fermented in much colder temperatures.
Okay.
So ales are most craft beers, but lagers are harder to make, and they're fermented at a colder temperature.
Like Coors is a lager.
Yeah, but not in
not
this
a good lager. I'm not saying that. I saw it. Well, I have another beer question for you. I'm watching the football, you know, America's beer sport. And I think it was Budweiser. Maybe it was Bud Light, talking about how we've used wheat, barley, and rice. Mm-hmm. Is rice commonly used in beer making? I never heard of that.
Some beers do use it.
Cheap beers.
Not always cheap. Some craft brewers have kind of made some interesting beers with rice, but it's kind of known as Budweiser's hallmark. And you know why they're doing those ads? Because craft beer has kind of become a thing.
They're pretending that it's beer you're drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't know that. So Bud's hallmark is that they use rice, because usually it's wheat or barley, hops.
Barley, water, yeast.
And yeast, obviously, and water, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'm trying to think of, I've had one from a brewery called Kunin. Kunin Double Rice IPA I've had.
Oh.
And,
is there a distinctive characteristic of a rice brewed beer?
Lighter, usually. You know, there's people who brew with corn. There's people
sake,
brew with
sake is rice beer, really.
It is.
Yeah.
Rice wine. Yeah.
Well, they call it wine, but it's kind of more brewed, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So.
All right. Yeah. Any carbohydrate can be fermented to produce alcohol and generate a fine, brothy beverage. Paul, you understand I'm doing this just to make up for all the Xbox talk earlier.
I know. We have to have a little extra beer.
You could be on the air long enough to make up for that. I don't know. I don't know how to fix this.
It's time for beer talk.
Now, you know what? Next week is all Hadoop. That's how we'll fix it.
No, you know what? Next week is Paul and I going growing over rapturously our gamer clips.
And then there was this time I fragged the guy.
Watch me in this bunker with some Nazis.
Man, can you believe this guy was sniping with a rocket launcher and blew himself backwards off the cliff?
Actually, my biggest problem is the cheap kill stuff is hard to come by so far.
Good.
I rely on that.
No cheap kills.
You know, as you get older, you have to get crafty.
I know. These young kids, jeez. Ladies and gentlemen, as much fun as this has been, I think it is time to call it a day for Windows Weekly one more time for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Of course, it wouldn't be a show without Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com, thurrogood.com. Leanpub.org, .com is the host.
Does he have blood on him? Oh, those are little hearts.
Let me see, Paul Thurrott.
Leanpub.com is where you'll find his books, including The Field Guide to Windows 10. Mary Jo Foley hangs her hat at ZDNet, where she is prolific in the coverage of Microsoft, but never fails to use the Oxford comma.
Actually, Mary Jo often fails to use the Oxford comma.
I'm not an Oxford comma person.
You would think she would fall on the right side of history on this one, but no.
What?
I know.
I'm a minimalist. Look at me using Notepad.
Wow.
I have tried.
That's incredible.
This is the biggest rift in our relationship.
Mary Jo, tabs or spaces?
Spaces.
Oh,
yep.
God.
I know.
All right, Paul. We just have to.
It's heretics.
I've let you down.
Too, Mary Jo? Are you a lefty?
I am a right-hander.
I'm a lefty, and I use tabs, and I always use the serial comma. And I never use rice in my beer. Our show comes to you each. By the way, Mary Jo's website is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's easy to remember. Our show comes to you each Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. That would be 1900 UTC now because we are in our standard time zone. 1900 UTC. If you want to watch live, you can do it at YouTube. I'm sorry. Well, you can do it at youtube.com/twit, but you could also do it at twit.tv/live. And if you do watch live, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. There's a good bunch in there. And it's a lot of fun as they kibitz behind the scenes. On-demand audio and video also available after the fact at twit.tv/dubdub. Or wherever you get your podcasts, including, yes, Pocket Casts. I do hope you'll subscribe. That way you will not miss another episode. We'll be back here next week. Any travels in the upcoming weeks? Or you're going to...
I don't know. But next week...
Right.
Well, you're not coming, right?
I guess not. So Microsoft is having a developer event in New York next week.
On Wednesday.
On Wednesday, right? So I would have gone if it wasn't on Wednesday. I asked them about the possibility of doing, you know, record. I told them I couldn't, you know.
We can move Windows Weekly if you want. Totally can do that.
It depends if you think it's worth it. It's a developer event. I'll be able to do the show next week because I'm only going to go to the morning of it.
I wouldn't bother moving the show for this. The way things are right now, not traveling is okay.
He just wants to stay home and play Xbox.
That's the real truth.
I'm not admitting to that per se, but.
But maybe.
By the way, there's the link to the Pocket Casts subscription for that fabulous show. I love that.
Yeah, so we'll do the show next week as usual, and we'll both be at home in our respective homes.
I mean, they're doing it's virtual too, right? So if you're not there,
You can watch the event.
Yeah, yep. So I'll be watching it in the morning or whatever.
I'll wave.
All right, Paul Thurrott, you know what you say. World War II ain't going to win itself. Get on out there and fight for the good fight, and we will see you next week on Windows Weekly. Mary Jo, you can play Cuphead if you want.
Thank you.